Welcome to Everything Close the Coast. I'm Jussie Lindeberg, and today I'm sitting in the front room. I'm going to lie and say I haven't been here for a while, but I've actually been here quite a bit lately. Once again, I love this place. But I'm joined with Rachel Neidefer. Now I'm going to call you a marine biologist. Rachel, how are you going, Rachel?
I'm good. How are you?
Really good. And I've actually stumbled across Alicia Ann Wade, who's here in her second home. Hey, Alicia.
Hi.
Hey, Alicia, are you still eating?
No, I knew you were going to ask me a question, so hence the reason why I've kept my mouth empty.
I wanted to catch you with a mouthful of fudge.
Get fudged.
Hey, before we talk to Rachel, I just really want to share that I'm now on Spotify. You've got no idea what this means to me. It's massive.
It's huge.
So we are, like, we already went global with, like, a .com website and YouTube channel. But seriously, now it's massive. Spotify. I feel like I've arrived.
Next is iTunes.
Do you reckon? Yes. I think iTunes old school.
It's still there.
Okay, well, I want to tap into the people that are born in 1970, so I better go into iTunes.
Yes.
Okay. Well, actually, I have submitted to iTunes. I might be there. Anyway, I'm waffling. I have hit Rachel up to come and chat to me today because I absolutely love what she does and I love her story. So, Rachel, can you let everyone know, what do you do? What is it that I've been pestering you about?
Yes, well, when you came out with me, that was a few weeks ago now, I think. So in Harvey Bay...
No, it wasn't a date.
Oh, no. Yes, came out on the boat. Yes, sorry. In Harvey Bay, we went up into Platypus Bay, and I work for the company Tasman Venture. So we have two vessels. One of them does... It's a larger vessel, and it does a morning whale watch and an afternoon whale watch. But the one that you came out with me on is the smaller vessel called Island Venture, and that is a boat that does a full day combined remote Fraser Island tour and whale watching excursion.
Yeah, but you weren't driving the vessel.
I was not. That was Millie.
Yeah, you are a marine, or you're a biologist,
yes.
But I'm going to call you a marine biologist because you spend every day on the water. And I want to just... wanted everybody to hear you talk because is that an accent I hear?
Yes, it is. I'm American. Pretty easy to pick it out.
Okay, so where are you from?
So I'm from Charlottesville in the state of Virginia on the east coast of the United States.
For the west, the rest, not the west, the rest of this podcast, can you talk with a southern accent?
I can try.
And can you just quickly also do a shout out to your mom?
Oh, yes. Hi, Mom. I've made it.
Mom, she's famous. She's a UBU Aussie now.
Yep.
And she's here down under.
Yep.
With Jussie.
Yep. Sure am. And Alicia.
And you actually told me before we started talking that you're actually also being called a naturalist.
Yes.
Rather than a biologist. So when you say naturalist, and I've got my hand on my furry thing, does that mean you like getting natural and back to nature?
Yes, I do.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Do you know that I've agreed with Miss Shelley Seashells to be a naked still art model for one of her Sip and Splash art classes coming up? Would you like to join me?
Oh, I'm going to have to hard pass on that one.
Anyway, hey Alicia, are you okay with this podcast? Are we not getting a bit too...
Is your daughter still listening?
Sorry, Alicia. I didn't ask Alicia if she wanted to nude pose with me. Sorry, would you like to nude pose with me?
Do you know what? If my parents are listening to this, they'll be like, she could do that.
I know you could. Talk about owning...
But I don't know if I could do that in public. You should see what I do at home.
I don't think I can do it.
Sorry, I have to keep it real and be honest. I get laser, so there's... there is no hair. Yeah. Oh!
I say, I'll have enough bush for both of us. Anyway, let's keep it PG. There are children...
Sorry, Mum.
There are children listening. And what I actually wanted to ask you, Rachel, is with your marine, so the real purpose, other than having a bit of a laugh, is I think you're inspirational to young people. You're living your dream. You've gone to uni back home, and you've studied biology. You've found yourself here in Harvey Bay, a town where a lot of locals still think, why on earth would people want to come to Harvey Bay? There's nothing here, there's nothing to do. you're staying here, you're working your dream job. So just on that, can you touch on, like, what was the journey that you've had in finding, did it just all happen by chance?
So back when I was in school still, I want to say early 2000s, my family and I, we did a trip to Florida. And that is where, you know, SeaWorld is, where Walt Disney World is. So we went to a park called Discovery Cove, where you can see the dolphins and, you know, swim with them. And I was still very young at this point, but I was just very inspired from that point on and thought, oh, it would be so cool to be able to see these animals every day, you know, but not necessarily in the aquarium or that's like right. a box type thing.
Yep.
It would be cool for me to see them in their natural environment and out in the wild and them just, you know, majestically swimming and all of that. Aww. So since then, pretty early on, I was inspired. So then I graduated high school, applied to go to college, did a biology degree for 4 years, graduated from there, and then I applied to work for a non-for-profit organization that did research on humpback whales. So I did that in Hawaii.
So was that voluntary?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
The 3 years that I was with him, it was all voluntary. So I loved it that much where I could just, you know, I'd work
awesome.
At home and then I'd fly. So the first season was 2015. I did in Maui, Hawaii. So I did the Northern Hemisphere humpback whale.
Wow.
And then they sent me in 2016 and 2017 to their Harvey Bay location out here.
Yeah.
So I would just fly into the heart of whale season, which is from mid-July until the end of October, early November, and I would just work, and then I'd fly back home, and then I'd work multiple jobs so that I could be able to come out here again and continue to volunteer.
Right. And so what's that organization called?
The Pacific Whale Foundation.
Oh, I'm going to have to put a link to that on our blog that I'll do. And, okay, so with the, okay, this is, I know nothing.
Yeah.
Okay, except I know ambergris, so I learned that now. But the migrating whales that you saw with Hawaii.
Yep, that is a different population.
You knew where I was going.
Yep.
Because you've got a distinct voice, would they be swimming by going, hey?
Yeah, so the populations, the Southern Hemisphere population and the Northern Hemisphere, they're migrating at different times. So if you think about it, if you look at a world map and you look at where Hawaii is and then where the top of the Great Barrier Reef is, those are going to be positions near the equator. And then they head north and south to the polars, depending on which population. The Northern Hemisphere heads to Alaska for the ones that I had dealt with. And then the Southern Hemisphere for us in this region, they head down to Antarctica. So they head to the equator in the warmer waters to breed and give birth. And then they head to the polar waters to feed. But because in the Southern and the Northern Hemisphere, the seasons are opposite. So these populations never cross paths. They never cross breed, really.
Yes.
So there's never really any interaction because they're always constantly moving up together to the Great Barrier Reef for the southern population and Alaska for the northern population.
Yes.
Or down together for the northern hemisphere.
I'm so glad you said
in
that.
Hawaii and then Antarctica for the southern.
Wow, cool.
Yeah, because my brain was thinking, oh, there could be some cross relationships happening here, but you're right.
There may be a few that stick around, I mean, you know, that don't travel all the way up and may cross borders, but for the most part, both of the general populations just do their own thing.
Oh, look, way back when I was a primary school teacher, I wish I'd thought about teaching seasons that way to my students, because that's so engaging and interesting. It's not about, like, I really, this just, I can really picture that. I think it's so interesting. So from the perspective looking at our local pod, or our
local group of the Eastern Australian humpbacks, just to clarify.
I really appreciate, because I don't know any of the what I really appreciated when you were on the vessel with us with Tasman Venture is your knowledge, but you didn't overwhelm us with knowledge, but I knew that we were only scratching loosely at the surface of what you must know, because you can't overwhelm us, and the time is so short.
Try to keep it pretty basic and elementary, but also try and teach them.
So well, something that I learned was how they feed, like the babies feed. That is something that I took away. And I'm like, did you know that it's really thick and the babies just suck it from the water?
Well, you might have to explain it for the listeners because...
Oh, yes. That was amazing. So that was something that I took away. So there you go.
So the humpback whale, the mom's milk, it's a lot thicker than human milk. So it's about the consistency of yogurt. And it has a very high protein and fat content. So it's about 47% fat. Human milk is only about 2% fat. So due to her fatty milk, the calf, once it's born, they're born around 3 to 5 meters in length. It'll actually double in size in its first year of life simply due to mom's protein and fatty milk. But when the calf is feeding, they have two, mom has two mammary glands that are located around two-thirds of the way down on her underbelly. And the calf, there is no suckling at all involved when these humpback whales are nursing. Instead, mom contracts a muscle. So her mammary glands instead are pushing that milk into the calf's mouth. So the calf will wrap its tongue around the mammary gland, and that milk is reflexively squirted into the calf's mouth.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
You just rattle that off like a second nature.
I said it. It was really short. Oh, yeah, they just suck it, and that's about it. Really made it colourful. So well, that's pretty cool.
I would be up for getting in the water when that's happening just to see if that's the eternal fountain of youth. So that milk's got to have some nutrients in it. Okay, we'll just leave that there.
We can't actually swim with moms and calves, so I don't see that happening.
I wanted to ask you. So next year when I get a group of people to fill a whole boat.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make sure that we've got you and Millie on the boat with us. Are we allowed to hop in the water before the whales are sticky so that we have a chance to be the attraction to make the whales come and be sticky?
It just depends. So what we look for when we have people that want to try and swim with whales, I'll say what we're not looking for. So we're not looking for whales that are very active on the surface. So these are 30 to 40 ton animals. To put that into perspective for you guys, that's like the equivalent of 7 African elephants. So they're huge, they weigh a lot. So we're not looking to put you guys in the water when they're being surface active. So when they're breaching, when they're peck slapping, when they're tail slapping, that's not what we want to put. We don't want to put you guys in the middle of that. So that won't be happening. And then when they're traveling as well, because we can't hang you out on a line on the back of the boat, have you say, hold on, here we go, and then you're dragged. We don't do that either. So
I'd be up for that if I had to.
Yeah, hold on for dear life. So we really just want to be able to sit, engines off, like going nowhere, just at the drift, and have the whales sticking with us, swimming around us, and are very interested in us. Yes, we could put you in the water, but we still won't put people in the water unless we're engines off. So
can I slip you a $50 next time to say, just get at the front of the line now, we're going to call it?
We may be able to work something out.
Awesome, score. I want to be in the water first. So what about, from a local perspective, my perspective now is that we are in the whale's backyard.
Yes.
They've been here before us. When you see the size and how they really, this is their territory. We're so lucky to live in their backyard. What can we do locally? Like, you must see things out on the water, whether it's in the environment or the way people act. What can we do to, you know, make sure that we're doing the right thing for the whales and to ensure that they're healthy and here for a lot longer than we are?
Yeah, so I think one of the biggest things that we see out here, especially, you know, coming out whale watching, all the boats pretty much know the regulations and the approach limits, but there are people that come into town and rent a boat, or maybe they aren't as educated as they should be, and they're just out on the water. Some of them may not even know that it's whale season, so they don't even know to look for whales. And then you just see them driving, they're oblivious, we're honking the horn to try to get them to slow down, and then, you know, the whale pops up super close to them, and then they're surprised. So just being more self-aware, and, you know, we have an approach limit here, 100 meters, and then if the whales choose to come any closer, that's great for us. That's what we like to call getting mugged by humpback whales.
Getting what?
Mugged. Yeah, you get to keep your wallet and your phone and everything. But yeah, just being really aware just that they're here, they're around, know, they stay down and they will eventually come up. So even if you don't see them right out in front of you a few minutes later, they could pop up. And just to be, you know, during whale season, to just always be very aware of your surroundings, be constantly looking, just because you have an open body of water and it's not like a road where you have all these turns. You could technically drive wherever you want, but just to be cautious that they're out there and you need to be looking for them.
I would much rather be mugged by a humpback than humped by a wug whale. Mug whale. I tried to get that around the right way. I don't know if I pulled that off or not. So that's from the boating perspective.
Yeah.
And there are laws there, aren't there?
Yeah,
not,
yeah.
There are actual laws to follow. So what about environmentally? Like, I don't really see rubbish anymore with my eyes.
Yeah, well, if we do see marine debris, we pick it up. We picked up actually a huge orange plastic, like, construction type grid net thing. It's a plastic one, so they're used in, you know, areas where they're doing like construction on the road and stuff. We picked out one of those in the ocean last week.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I was like, what is this doing out here?
Oh, with the winds and everything, it could have just blown away.
Yeah, and then just, you know, being aware. And there's so many alternatives now. People are getting really more eco-friendly.
Yeah.
My reusable water bottle, I take this everywhere with me. It's a Hydro Flask. I got it back in the US, but they're becoming big over here as well.
And do you notice all the stainless steel and glass straws?
Yeah.
Bamboo straws, which is just awesome.
Yeah, stainless steel straws. I have one of those, and then you can get bamboo cutlery to keep it out of the landfills. And,
So what about, what are these whales? This is a little bit of a longer podcast, because it's just so interesting, Rachel. But what are these whales eating?
So the whales, when they're currently here in the bay, that's the warmer waters are a place where they breed and give birth. So they're not eating anything while they're here.
Okay.
Unless you're a calf, of course, and then you can nurse on mom's milk. But for the most part, these whales are not feeding at all. So they're currently relying on their blubber layer. And their blubber layer can be as thick as 18 inches.
Okay.
And it just stores their food preserves and fresh water that they get from metabolizing their prey. So they rely on that until they get down to Antarctica again, where they can feed on small shrimp-like creatures called krill.
Right. And are the food supplies down there wonderful and healthy?
Yeah,
and,
they are.
Because the whales that we saw when they were swimming around, well, as far as I could tell, they looked very healthy. And
yeah. They may do some opportunistic feeding off of Eden and places a bit further down south, but for the most part, they're going to be traveling all the way down to Antarctica to feed on the krill.
Yeah.
So.
So getting back to your southern accent.
Yes.
I haven't really noticed the change, to tell you the truth.
I can throw in a y'all if you want. I say it all the time. People judge me at work for it. They make fun of me.
So
I'm like, are y'all going here? Are y'all going there? They're like, y'all.
So just a couple of questions about your thoughts on America.
Yes.
Do you like pizza or burger and fries?
Burgers and fries more,
burgers,
I think.
And have you noticed the size of the meals here are a little bit smaller than America?
Yeah.
Because that was what I couldn't believe when I've been to America, is how big everything is.
I couldn't believe it. Entrees. They gave me four burgers. I was like, this is an entree. What's the main meal?
And what about the, I can't remember what you call it over there, but your drinks.
Yep.
What do you call the sodas?
Oh, a big gulp.
A big gulp?
A big gulp.
They're like a bucket.
Yeah.
They're massive.
Yeah.
I honestly would be weaned for like 24 hours straight if I drank that. And so that's on food. But what about, have you been up to Canada?
I have not. It's pretty sad, actually. I've been lots of other places, Mexico, the Bahamas, Australia, obviously.
Well,
I've never been to Canada. I'll get there.
I've lived in Canada. I can tell you that off air. But okay, so what about, have you been to San Francisco?
No, actually.
Oh, where have you been? In America?
Mainly the east parts of it.
That's so normal. Because where have you been in Australia?
Just here. I mean, as I said before, I would fly in the heart of whale season, work, and then fly out. So I really haven't done a lot of traveling here, which is sad because I feel like as a person that works in the tourism industry, people look to me for guidance. Oh, where should I go from here? And I'm like, I'm so sorry.
Just send them to everything.
I spend every day on the water and like 0 days on land. So I'm sorry, I have only been to Lady Elliot Island and Tin Can Bay, and that's pretty much it.
Oh, well, do you know what? We need to give a shout out to some of the tour operators and tourism centres to look at taking you out and showing you this region, because you talk to so many people with money to spend.
Yeah.
You know, these are people with money to spend in the region. And I used to run a thing called No and Tell out in the Central Highlands, which was people that work in the tourism industry. If you know the region, you'll tell people about it.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
Maybe that's something we should talk about again, about getting up around here. So that's so interesting.
Yeah.
Rachel, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I don't know. Just if you guys want to come whale watching, and you know, we did talk about the exciting portions of the swim with opportunity, but then I mentioned that you can't swim with moms and calves. So a lot of people think that when they come on the boat, they're definitely going to get to swim, but there's actually sort of a window for that opportunity to happen, because at the end of the season, the breakdown of the season that we have is starting off mid-July. The sub-adults come into this area first because they're not sexually mature enough to be able to mate as of yet. So, as I mentioned earlier, the breeding and the birthing grounds, if you're not sexually mature, you're not going to be participating in the breeding or the birthing. So they turn around and head back down first, so they're the first to arrive in the bay. So the sub-adults, I like to classify them as human teenagers.
Just keep it PG though, okay?
Yes, yes, yes. They're very curious. They like to get up to mischief, so those are the ones that we tend to find are a lot stickier. And then more towards the middle of the season is when you get your mature males and females coming in. So you get your competition pods, lots of fighting.
Just for those listening, when you say stickier, you mean like sticky beaking?
Yes, yes. Like very curious, very like looking at us, sticking with us, not just on their migratory mission, swimming in one direction. Nothing can like capture their attention, you know. So they're very interested in us. So that is a great window to, I'd say, July and August.
Yeah.
And then by September, you start to see moms and calves coming in. And as I said before, you can't swim with them. So basically, we're just slowly weaning off of our swim with season now. So yeah, just that progression that we have during our season. A lot of people think, oh, well, if I go out today, I'm going to see a breach. I'm going to swim with them. I'm going to do this and that. But yeah, it's very, very selective. I mean, our whale season here is only about 3.5 months. And in that time period, only about a month and a half you can swim. And the rest is like, you know, if you get sub-adult whales or even mature adults without a calf, you may be able to swim with them. But you have a greater chance when there's more in the bay and therefore less moms and calves present.
Yes.
Because as we progress further in the season, at the end, it's just going to be pretty much all moms and calves because they've given birth to their calves and they want to keep them in the warm waters for as long as possible to build up their calves coordination and blubber layer and muscle layer so they can travel down south with their mom. So, yeah.
Beautiful. Rachel, thank you so much. Honestly, could keep talking, but we better stick to our time frame and let you go as well. But thank you so much for taking the time to share your information.
Not a problem at all.
Once again, I feel like we've only scratched the surface of what you know.
We can do it again.
We are. Thank you. And you know I'm going to do it again.
That's fine with me. Totally fine.
Would you be interested in being on a panel to podcast somebody else perhaps one day?
Yeah, sure. We could talk about that.
Okay, that'd be awesome. Okay, well, thanks, Alicia, for joining us. I didn't really give you a chance to.
She didn't have a mouthful of food.
No, she's finished her dessert, which is awesome.
I know, I inhaled that.
And we're signing off here from the front room. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Da 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 da